Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of FFC. That's right, we 2 days in a row here. Hey, no sleep. You see these guys? No sleep. It's football season. I'm here every week. You hear me? I'm here for you all every week. Baby boy, we are into week five. It's 5 weeks already. But hey, we gotta be fair. Though I love this sport, we understand. Too many games is crucial. It's too crucial for this beautiful sport. Gotta have a balance. It's just, hey man, 5 weeks already. It's like I just getting in the groove, and it's already 5 weeks. Like, wait, 5 weeks in. I mean, what? We gonna get some good football this week? I attest that the first 4 weeks, all the time. They start off pretty ugly, slow, inefficient, too fast. You know, you're not seeing 70 points put up on a defense in week 8. But week three, two, as we saw, it's just, you know, the first 4 weeks, it's still kind of preseasonish for a lot of players. So, you know, you got it's a lot of things that are getting the groove. But by the time we're in week five, we should be grooved. You hear me? We should see points of, you know, 48, 17. We should see those kind of come down at least to 38, 22, stuff like that, you know. 32, 29, you know, we should see closer scores, maybe 24, 17, lower scores. excuse me, where quarterbacks are putting up 3 to 4 touchdowns a game. For these next couple of 3 weeks, we might see quarterback numbers drop a little bit. You know, when quarterbacks may only get 1 to 2 touchdowns a game, but we may see more running backs get fed a lot more coming into, you know, week five and moving forward. I mean, got Christian McCaffrey running 400, Arcane ran a 400. I think there was somebody else, if I'm not mistaken, that also crushed it on 100 yards. But I mean, it's week four. The balance is seen, but now that we're going into week five, I feel like even still, the Steelers, who are not looking good right now, I get it. They're not looking the best. Najee, I think he's going to get his job taken. I think the coach is going to make some changes, i.e., he's going to, one, work in another running back into this backfield. And I think he's, out of fairness, as a player coach, he gave Najee every opportunity to be the lead back of this game. Of this team. It has not happened. So he's gonna, one of those changes, we're working in some other pieces to get this running back game working properly. The other changes that he's gonna make, special teams doesn't look good. He's gonna put a foot in special teams behind just to get these guys, you know, sometimes you need a thump to get moving. All right. That offensive line needs some, it's good. Maybe we got to find some plays to get the ball out of Kenny Pickett's hands a little faster. Those small hands are not properly airing the ball out the way we want. He'll get a few, but it's almost like the small hands, that double glove is becoming a tad bit of an issue. But if it can be fixed, it can be fixed by finding a way to get shorter routes, longer yak type of situations. Defense look good. A couple cleanups here and there. Stopping the run is should be more essential, and they are getting passed on. They gotta make some adjustments. But everything he said about, yeah, they're gonna, it's almost like he let 4 weeks play out, and they did. You know, like the record, the way it played out. Now it's time for him to step in as the head coach, make changes. I.e., he let his team run. He had the organ. He let the coordinators do what they needed to do. And that's gonna be another change. Yeah, we're gonna see some changes in that, in the play calling. Trust me. But those are the changes he's gonna make. Hopefully, these changes kind of get the Steelers back to foot. You know what I mean? But again, that's now we're in week five, and that's where we should see a different Steelers is in week five. Like, I get it. We've had 4 weeks of what is this? That was, we're trying to figure that out ourselves, and sometimes. Sometimes you gotta just let it be. You know what I mean? Like, I'll give you another example that may Justin Fields, right? Could this be a new Justin Fields we see moving forward? I don't know. We'll know tonight. You know what I mean? But let's say it is. Let's for talk's sake. Let's say it is, right? For debate sake. Where Justin Fields made the mistake is opening his mouth because he didn't let the process finish. If last game was any indication to what the Chicago Bears wanted out of Justin Fields, he opened his mouth too soon. He should have just not said anything. He honestly could have just went to the media and just said, I need to play better. We have expectations on this team. You know, we've gone through things in training camp. We've gone through things in practice. I know what needs to be done. There are certain things that needed to be said out of his mouth, and what he said was wrong. If last game was any indication of this is the Justin Fields you all should be seeing. Now, if that game was just a fluke, and we don't get that again, no, then my argument kind of don't work. But... But my point is the process, right? Certain things need to happen. When they don't happen on their own, step in now. The Steelers still have time for playoff, right? They remember, they have always been 9-8 getting playoffs. Or 9-7 before, you know, that extra game got added, getting the playoffs with 9-7 record, okay? They've always been that identity, okay? That's necessarily never changed. That's what they're about to get back to. They just need a running back to do it, and it ain't Najee. That's one change that's going to happen. And this offense and the way it's being moved via the offensive coordinator, he's not moving the coordinator. They're going to get together and fix this offense, is what I'm saying. Trust me, it's nothing that's going to change what they do, or now it's a whole new offense. And Kenny can't. No. It's nothing like that. There are certain things you can change to make things a little bit more accurate, a little bit more. Percentage-wise, higher percentage for these players to more first down. It's all about getting percentages on downs that you need to be successful to score. Their issue is that they don't have high percentage of first downs. They're not executing properly on second downs. They're low percentage on third. You see what I mean? Like, they're not doing anything to move the ball, and then they're just getting a touchdown here and there. That's not what they want. They need efficiency in percentages in certain parts of the game. That is the Steeler way, okay? That's what they're going to get back to, hopefully. But before we continue any further with this one show, I got to go back to the couch. Yeah, we're starting off with the couch this episode. Coach forgot a player. Christian Gonzalez. We do have the room. Pimp, get done with that soldier surgery. Get you some ice. Lay back. Watch some football, because you out here a whole year with coaching the couch, Bill. We got a lot of room for you. Y'all them Publix players, they're at practice. Yeah. JT at practice. Cup should be at practice. Yes. Oh, yes. Some of them may not play this week. That's okay. But they're at practice. You feel me? They're not on the Publix. They're not soaking up all this good AC. No, these are for season-ending people, personnel, okay? Your season is done due to injury, unfortunately. It happens in the game we call football. You got to come on the couch with Coach, and we got to chill for a whole year, okay? We're going to be here, and we're going to have a good time. We got snacks. Publix done replenished. Oh, yeah, they not allowed to have them go to the grocery store. They get all that Publix money. Come over here and refill up my refrigerator, okay? The season enders, they need treats too, all right? Okay, we got free treadmill. We got some workout equipment for these guys, but they're going to be here for a while, but we got a lot of room now, all right? We got a lot of room. So, Christian Gonzalez, welcome, family. Welcome to Coach's Couch. It's going to be a long season. Have a pop in the squat. And you're going to have to, unfortunately, watch your Patriots. Not to do this year. With you on the field, it wasn't going to happen anyway. You just now get to see it from a televisional view perspective, if you will. All right? But... enough with Coach's Couch. We've already added our player. Now let's get into a little bit of fantasy talk, such as, let's see here. We have, where are you at? There we go, fantasy football waiver wires. So what we are looking for is some adds and some drops. So if these players have not already been added to your roster per week 5, these are players that you should target, absolutely. And one of them is Michael Wilson. I agree with that. He's only 6% owned in league, so I highly recommend that you pick him up if you need that roster, if you have that roster spot. Terrace Marshall Jr., he's 4% owned. He's pretty deep. If you're a 16, 14 man, I would consider it. Any lower, like 12 and low, you may not need him. You should be pretty stacked already. Jalen Reed should be on your roster already. If he's not on, Jalen Reed should have been on your roster by week 2. So if he's still on your bench, I don't know why. What are you doing? Come on, guys. This is one of the best flex players in fantasy right now. Okay. He's very, when I say one of the best, meaning he has consistently gotten points above 10 as a flex player. Okay. And if he's your starter, I mean, it's not the best because, of course, you would want your starter. But again, that means he's your number 2. He's still getting you 15, 17 points, 11, 12 points. All right. So, Jalen Reed should definitely have been on your roster by now. Zach Ertz. If you don't have a tight end by now, then yeah, it'd be Zach Ertz. He would be the best. I think the Cardinals are playing some decent football. So, I would agree with that. Curtis Samuel. That's pretty deep, too. He's about as deep as Terrace Marshall. You're looking at Curtis Samuels if you're running a 16, 14-man team. Drops, it would be Joshua Kelly, I would agree, and Jerick McKinnon. That'd be another drop. I would have dropped Jerick McKinnon like week 3. He's on your roster this deep in the season. There must not be. He's sitting out there, your way with why I see you. And that's why he just sitting there soaking up that good roster spot. Oh, God. I would have never taken McKinnon due to the fact that I feel like that's just happy to be stuck with him. Streaming defenses, Washington and Detroit. I would stream Detroit, especially this week. Let's see, what other fantasies do we have? Those are ad drops and streams. Oh, don't do slow on the computer. There we go. All right, so fantasy trade targets, buy low, sell high. So what you want to buy low on is Jalen Waddle. Yes, buy low on Jalen Waddle. So here's my thing with Jalen Waddle. Jose gonna hate me. He gonna hate me. But I gotta put the truth out there when I see it. What do y'all see when I see Jalen Waddle? Real talk. If you see anything that screams, he's a number one. He can line up with the best. You're absolutely right. Here's the problem. He is running next to one of the best number ones. The fastest number one. It's hard to share targets with Tyreek Hill when he is destroying every coverage out there. It's hard. You have to give it to him. Jalen Waddle got targets when a great mind such as Bill Belichick knew what to do to one of them. You can't stop both. You feel me? So you take out Tyreek and then went to Waddle. I'm telling you, Waddle didn't get hurt. Don't get me wrong. They still won the game, and it would have just been a great game for Waddle. You feel me? If you would have taken away Waddle, yeah, you just can't do that because you just, why would you want Tyreek 1-on-1? It's just the way they had to trap Tyreek, Waddle was going to eat. You know what I mean? But regardless of that fact, because you're eating against one, he can take on 2. I've seen it before Tyreek got there. Why are we having this? Because if you're buying low on Jalen Waddle right now, be happy. Because I don't think, here's one of two things going to happen. Either he is not going to stay a Dolphin very long because, yes, bruh, y'all got to understand something right now. There are teams right now that need wide receivers, i.e. the Giants need a number one so bad, and it could be Jalen Waddle. Chiefs need a number one so bad. And it could be Waddle or Devontae Adams. Those are two great receivers that could be in the number one. The Ravens need it, but the Ravens also need a running back. Jonathan Taylor could be a great trade target to the Ravens. So gear up, Jonathan Taylor owners. It's about his time, hopefully. And don't get me wrong, he's going to play for the Colts, but here's the problem with the Colts. Here's the problem with Jonathan Taylor with the Colts. He may play, but he did tell that owner he wants to be traded. An owner is going to allow him to ball to a certain extent. What does that mean? Well, if a other team sees that Jonathan Taylor has like 90, 100 yards off like 15 carries, 17 carries, it's Jonathan Taylor. He didn't score though. Moss was getting all those points, those touchdowns, I should say. Why? Well, that owner, Jim Irsay, is a bit of a ass, excuse my French. And it just wouldn't surprise me if, yeah, he let Jonathan Taylor do all that work, but Moss got all them scores. Why? Well, the work does nothing but allow that trade value to look really good. Because then Jonathan Taylor will leave and get the touchdowns wherever he goes. Touchdowns just won't come in Indiana because that's just how petty Irsay is. He'll let him get the work. Passing yards, the rushing yard. He may not get, he'll have to get on the end in the end zone on his own, which he can do. But let's just say Jonathan Taylor get tackled. You run a 65-yard run, he get tackled at the five. I can almost guarantee you he getting pulled. And enter, here comes Zach Moss. So fantasy owners, be ready for the trade. He will be traded. They're going to showcase him because they need that. You got to understand something. When Irsay told them people no before, it was not that juicy. You know how many players are sitting on that? On coach's couch right now? Huh? You know how many running backs got ankle injuries or out by day to day? Oh, Jonathan Taylor's value, especially if he come in Indiana and just runs good, that value is going to look so good. Teams are coughing up whatever he wants. And they're going to get it. And they will get Jonathan Taylor. And both sides are going to be happy. Will the Jonathan Taylor personnel make it to the playoffs? Yes. Will they win the Super Bowl? No. Will the Colts? No. See, so, but the trade allows the Colts to rebuild and it allows wherever Jonathan Taylor go to be happy. Real talk. Only thing he's going to be petty about, because he's just that, I just think he's that kind of owner. He's the same guy that got his DUIs. Like, let's be real. He's just going to be petty about him scoring. Jonathan Taylor going to have to get that kind of touchdown on his own work, off the handoff that he gets. But on their red zone, you can't throw it off the run. It's getting pulled, and it's going to Moss. So back to Jonathan Taylor. I mean, Dana Waddle, he is a buy low player because I do think the Dolphins could trade him. I don't – and that's if they – can't find a way to balance both receivers. And what I mean is, look, if Tyreek is taking over, he's taking over. I mean, now, if Jalen Waddle don't mind taking the back seat, he'll stay. You know what I mean? But if the guy wants to be, if he wants to be top wide receiver, he may have to go take that journey, you know? Let's switch over to basketball. Vince Carter is a great basketball player. One of the best to ever do it. So was his cousin Tracy McGrady. And both of them could have stayed playing together. But one of them wanted his own. And so did the other. That's why they didn't mind them splitting. Look, they played together a year and it was great. And one stayed in Toronto. And one said, I'm going to go hit Orlando. Look, if you want to be the man, be the man. You don't have to stay with a team when you know you can be used elsewhere better. He's the number two. He's being treated as such. You see what I mean? Again, if he don't have a problem with it, he don't have a problem with it. But if he wants more and the team doesn't mind him having that, a trade to a team that needs a wide receiver, still great value for him to go and for the Miami Dolphins to receive something for that. Just saying. Another buy low player is Zay Flowers. He's breaking out, so if you can get him on a low trade right now, Please do. Okay, because those numbers that he has, they're going to skyrocket. Jordan Addison is another player. All right, so here's how that's going to work, because he's a buy low, but I still think it's not like it's going to be a buy low, he's going to blow out for you. No, it's still Jetta. It's still Hockenson. They need to figure it out in the run game. So Jordan Addison is still getting, he's still going to be third in targets. You know what I mean? So he's a good flex option. Let's see. Khalil Herbert is a sell high. You can try. I would say wait after this week. See how he does against Washington. If he's used properly, then yeah, he's a good sell high. Courtland Sutton is definitely, if you can get him up your roster. I understand the target value of selling him at a high level. It's just does somebody want him? You can try to sell him. I get what you're saying. Don't mean it's going to get received on that end the same way. You know what I mean? You come at me with a Courtland Sutton trade. Oh, it's going to be a decline with a clown face and laughter behind it. So bad. And I'm really laughing at you because you traded him. I mean, you drafted him. You stuck with that. Terry McLaurin is definitely a sell high player. Only because his numbers will increase. And yes, you are going to miss his numbers when you trade him. But obviously, if you're trading him, you have what you need at receiver. And trading Terry McLaurin means you need something else desperately, i.e., you need a running back. Terry McLaurin is a trade high player because you definitely need a running back. Those of you who need a running back need to be listening to coach. If you have Terry McLaurin on your team, he's a trade high. Trade high because you need a running back. Okay? For those of you that didn't hear me the first time, all right? I seem like Coach repeats himself a lot on this show for a lot of the mistakes people don't listen to me about. That's neither here nor there. All right, let's see. What else news do we have out here for you guys? So before we get into tonight's game, let us go over the week five. What is this? No, I don't want that. Nope. Give me a second. I thought I had. Oh, I'm in the wrong one. Do. Give me a second. I had the rankings here for week five. My apologies. Let me see if I can find them real quick. Jeez, that took me a minute. Sorry. I was stuck on the last information research page and didn't tap out. So I got it. Sorry about that. So what I wanted to do, due to the fact that a quarter of the season is gone already, and now we're moving into the next quarter, I wanted to go over the top scoring personnel in each perspective position, all right? So we have quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, running backs. I think I might have defensive kickers, but we'll see. But we're going with just 10. We're only doing 10, all right? Not going to get too crazy. But the number 10 scorer, number 10 top scoring quarterback, C.J. Stroud, he is 74.58 points over the first 4 weeks of football. That is impressive for a rookie. He is the only rookie on this list. Somebody's winning Rookie of the Year. Hey, I am impressed with this kid. Let's just hope this will. Y'all know how I feel about the Texans. And they have a great coach who I don't believe should be there because I know the Texans. And now they got a great quarterback. I just hope it works out for this team. I'm going to just be that. I'm going to go ahead and kill the criticism. Well, everything I see, I'm looking and I'm loving. You understand what I'm saying? I see it. There's hope. There's hope because, I mean, it looks good. He is hitting his targets on receiving. All right, running game don't look good. I'm still not big on Damian Harris, so that's fine. They'll fix that. But what they're doing right now through the first 4 weeks of football looks really good. Will it continue? Let's hope so. I have him winning 8 games. That's not bad, especially for a rookie. He wins more than that. Yeah, that's amazing. 8 games gets him rookie of the year still. So, yeah, CJ Stroud is number 10 on this list. Number 9, check this out. I know they got 70 points put on them. That dot is going to kill me. They got 70 points put on them. But Russell Wilson is number 9. 77.56 points. He is number 9. He's been putting up the points. Defense can't stop nothing. Defense has been horrible. But Russell has been playing good football, all right? Good enough that he's number 9 in quarterbacks. Who can guess number 8? To nope. It is Patrick Mahomes. Let's be real. He is only number 8. He ain't got no receivers. So to have no receivers and to be 79.64 points over the first 4 weeks, that is impressive. That is not low in my book. That's impressive. The dude, I mean, if you put a horse and a dog and a frog, I guarantee you they'll catch more than these crappy receivers he got. I swear to you they will. I mean, it's bad. Okay, Davante Adams, he needs you. He really does. Oh, I mean, that's Super Bowl number 3. I promise you, Davante Adams. But he's Patrick Mahomes is number 8. Number 7, Kirk Cousins, 80 points. He's been playing good. They haven't been winning any football games, but outside, I think the last one. But his numbers have been great. All right, so. Kirk Cousins is number 7 on this list with 80.26. Tua, right above that, at number 6, 81.74. They strike fast and they hit hard. I mean, he puts up about close to or at 300 yards a game. So, I mean, everybody else below him is between – they probably had one 300-yard game. He's had multiple. I think he's had two. Two or three. I think two. I think he's two. He's got 2 300-yards and 2 200-yarders. Number 6 at quarterback, number 7 is Jalen Hurst. His quarterback numbers are not up there, but he averages 2 to 3 touchdowns a game. No, 3 to 4 touchdowns a game because he averages 2 passing and at least 1 or 2 rushing. Jordan Love, surprisingly, is number 4. Jordan Love is number 4 at 85.24. Again, he's been playing good football. The win, I think, 2-2 or 1-3. But he's been playing good football. I've been very impressed with what I've seen come out of Jordan Love. Lamar Jackson, not fully impressed, but impressive enough that he's winning football games, securing wins. The passing, OBJ screwed them badly. They need another receiver, but they need a running back. They need a better offense. They need a lot. So, but for what they have, and what they're doing, he's at number 3 with 85.76 points because he scores. Again, at 100 yards on the ground that one game definitely helped. Josh Allen, god of football and fantasy football. God of fantasy football. I got a football. He's got a fantasy. Why? Because he does both running and passing very efficiently, more than any other quarterback. And he looks good doing it because he's got 90.52 points in fantasy doing both games. Yeah, I didn't say his name yet. I ain't say his name all season. And I'm why? Because that defense is hurting my heart because it's hurting his value. Not his value. It's hurting their playoff contention. Okay.
What?
And they stopping my man from going out there and being the best damn quarterback in the NFL right now. At 95.74 points. Let's go. The number 1 top scoring quarterback in fantasy football right now. Yes, I love seeing that. Let's see. Running backs. We got David Montgomery at number 10 with 59 points. DeAndre Swift, he is number 9 with 61 points. Brian Robinson. Mark, every time I see Brian Robinson's name on the stat line, you get your name called. Because yet again, here we are with you being right about Brian Robinson. He is number 8 of the top scoring running backs in fantasy football this season. Can't deny what you were saying, Brent Pimp. You got it. You hit it on the nose. He took the role. Where's Gibson at? Gibson need a team. Gibson need to go out there and get traded. He need a team. He hurt right now because it's all about Brian Robinson right now, Pimp. Hey, Brian, hey, Mark got that call absolutely right. Tony Pollard at number 7 with 66 points. Bijan ain't leading. Bijan number 6, 70 points. Coach told y'all Bijan a little too high with this sorry Eagles, with this sorry Atlanta team. Just saying. Kenneth Walker, number 5, with 73. Devon Achane. Here's funny. He's number 4. Played all that much. Ain't that crazy? Why? Because to number 3, Kyron Williams, who has been thoroughly impressive throughout this throughout the first 4 weeks, is Raheem Mostert at 89.40. And number 2, which will flip, Devon will take that number 2 because he's the number 1 now. And number 1 in top scoring running back in fantasy football, you all know it. You all know his name. If you drafted him with your one of the first 3 picks, you are thoroughly happy because he is doing it yet again. Christian McCaffrey, who is, by the way, blowing it out of the water. You understand what I'm telling you? The next man at number 2 is 89. The next man at number 3 is 81. And the next one at number 4 is 80. He is smoking them because he has 120 points. Christian McCaffrey is fantasy gold right now. And it ain't going to stop. It's not. He's healthy. He's probably been playing the best football he's ever played. And I'm telling you, Christian McCaffrey and Tyreek Hill are running for MVP. They are trying to take it by storm, I'm telling you. Which brings us to next one. Or it could be. It's a race. It's a race. But before we get to that race, let's go to this one. Adam Thielen, number 10 at wide receiver. With 70 points, Mike Evans, 71 points at number 9. A.J. Brown at number 82 points. Guys, I liked A.J. Brown this year. My only thing was I felt it was going to be a Schmitty year. I don't know. Schmitty is definitely taking the double team, so it's making it obviously fairly easy for A.J. Brown to get open. But he is number 8. And Schmitty is nowhere to be seen. Gotta call it like it is. He's a scorer. Nico Collins, who is tearing up in fantasy right now at number 7. And Devontae Adams with a weak Raiders team at number 6. He needs to go to the Chiefs. I want him to go to the I personally want him to go to the Chargers. Chargers need defense, so that might not happen. Stephon Diggs, number 5 at 94 points. Puka Nacua at 95. Number 4, Tyreek Hill. Number 3 with 100. Keenan Allen, number two at 102. And, of course, Jettis, who is absolutely turning it up this year. 103 points in fantasy as the number 1 top wide receiver in fantasy football. Between Jefferson, McCaffrey, Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson. Those right now are your top leaders for MVP in my book. If I had to just take the top people who are actually just tearing up what they do at their position, yeah, I'm putting three receivers in the race. Keenan Allen is tearing it up right now. He's absolutely eating. Christian McCaffrey, give me 3. It's Christian McCaffrey, Justin Jefferson, and Justin Herbert. Those are your top 3 MVP. Get the word MVP out, right? Yeah, those are your top three for MVP, and then you can filter in Keenan and Tyreek behind that. But those are my top three right there. Tight ends, we have some. Here are your top tight end scores. Zach Ertz at number 10, which I think his target value is getting pretty good. I think Josh Dobbs is starting to find him a lot better. Tyler Higbee at number 9 with 35 points. Tight ends are not going to have high points, okay? The top one got 55. Jake Ferguson at 37. Travis Kelce at 44, but that'll move up. He's number 7. Hunter Henry is number 6. Mark Andrews is number 5. Evan Ingram is number 4. Cole Kmet is number 3. His target value is pretty good with Justin Jefferson. And, you know, he's found a good comfortability with this guy. Sam Laporta at number 2. I told you the kid was on the rise, and he's looking really good in Detroit. And number 1, of course, T.J. Hockenson, who's tearing it up right now. Because he has a great quarterback. Y'all better stop sleeping on Kirk. All right. So now that we've gone through our top scoring, basically we went through buy lows, sell highs. I like these rankings. I'm gonna go through these periodically. Not every week, only one. Like I said, I think I'm gonna do this quarterly, because quarterly we get a more substantial change in numbers. I think quarterly is when we'll basically, so we'll revisit these numbers again. What are we, week 5? Week 10. Week 10, we'll revisit these numbers again. Couple of news is, before we jump into tonight, Jonathan Taylor, who's been on the pub list, is due ankle injury, will practice. So he practiced Wednesday. I think Cooper Kupp also practiced. I think. I was trying to see if I could find something on that, but I haven't seen it yet. But we'll know for sure by tomorrow, because the injury report. So we always know what we're going. We always know what we're getting with those injury reports on Fridays. Let's see here. Let's get into tonight's game. We have Washington versus Chicago. I think Washington is home. Yeah. So Washington is home. I do believe Washington is winning this game. And I do think Chicago Bears will drop to 0-5. It's like, so they're missing a linebacker. They're missing a safety. Another safety is questionable. Let's see. Braxton Jones is on IR. They got 3 players on the 4 players on IR. Chicago's defense should be okay against Washington. Their offensive line isn't any better. Again, Sam Howell has been getting knocked around. I haven't seen a good Washington game lately outside of highlights to see if the offensive line has improved. Hopefully I can catch one of these replays, but I haven't seen a Washington replay. I might have to check with Joe, the producer. He's a big Washington fan, to see how that has progressed or digressed. If it's digressible, Chicago's defense might be a good play per points, meaning even though they're going to get scored on, they should be able to get a turnover and sack. So they may, you know, get you 7-8 points. Washington's defense, I think if the Bears can mimic what they did against Denver, not so much. I still think they're going to lose. So, you know, 14 points, maybe 17 for the Bears. The defense for Washington, I get 10 because I see a pick and a fumble against Chicago. I don't see a score on either. I just see a recovery for both. So I'm thinking the same, maybe 8-9 points for Denver. I mean, for Washington. Unless they can hold the Bears to 10 or less, then you may be able to look at 10, 12 points on that Washington defense. Am I starting Justin Fields in this game? Yeah. He'll score. You can score on Washington's defense. They're not like unscorable. Like, they're good, but you can score on their defense. No. I actually think Washington defense is actually going to return 1-4 touchdown. Yeah. Tonight, yeah. I think in Thursday night atmosphere, they're going to get 1 return for a touchdown. Either fumble recovery or pick.
He'll have one of those, but he'll still have two touchdowns.
Maybe one.
So I'm not starting Justin Fields in this game. I am starting DJ Moore and Darryl Mooney. Mooney is a flex. Both of them are flex options, honestly. I am starting Cole Kmet. He'll get targets, but I'm not comfortable with Khalil Herbert running against Washington. So it's DJ Moore, Darryl Mooney. Yeah. It's an ugly game on Thursday night. Pick this game. Why'd they pick this game for Thursday night? Sam Howell. Yeah, I'm starting him. I think he'll throw a few touchdowns against Chicago. One of those will be Terry McLaurin. Brian Robinson might catch one or run for one. And the other one will go to, let me see. Dawson, what you pick up to? Got a touchdown against Philly in the overtime loss. On Dotson over Curtis. Samuel Curtis, what you been up to? He had some good targets. Yeah, I'll start them both. I think I'll start all three receivers. Flex options, if you have any of them, except for Terry, I would start Terry. And I would flex both Curtis Samuel and Jahan Dotson because they're splitting carries. Splitting targets. It's going to be mostly Terry McLaurin and they're going to run Brian Robinson. Jahan and Curtis are going to split. Like, I think Curtis will get 5 and Jahan will get 4. Yeah, so I start both of them, but I'm flexing both of them. I think this game is won 27-20, Washington. Yeah. It's not going to be, again, struggling, not a big scoring team. Again, the most they put up in a loss last week was 28, right? That was against a crappy defense. So, no, I think they'll be fine. Washington in this game tonight will be absolutely fine. And I think it'll be 27-21. Let's go 27-21. I like that better. 27-21, Washington wins. Sam Howell is at the podium. He's speaking to Thursday night personnel in a home win. Yeah, I think that's how that works. Chase Young, I think Chase Young records 3 sacks tonight against the 3 sacks against Justin Fields. I like that. One of them might be a fumble and a recovery. That's the fumble recovery turnover that I've been thinking of. Or he may be hit by, he might get hit by Chase Young on a pass, wobble, hit, running in for a touchdown. If that happens, that might push their score to 33 if that happens. If Washington drops 30, if Washington drops anywhere near 30 points, it's because one of those touchdowns was a defensive score. All right, so again, here we are, week 5, guys. I'm really excited. I'm sad too, because it's like week 5 of football is already gone. But hey, gotta love it. I'm here, we're here. We got what? 2-0, 4-0s, 0-4s. Sorry if you're 0-4 right now. Hopefully you're 1-4 after this week. We've got some 2-2s, 1-2, 1-3s, and we've got some 3s and 1s. Guys, this is the time now. We've spent 4 weeks fooling around with our rosters. This is the time now where we got to set it. Set it and forget it. Like, we know who we're putting in. Barring the donuts, we don't bench Deebo Samuels because he got 0.6. We don't. All right? It happens. Did we really expect it to be a Christian McCaffrey day? No. And it happened. So Deebo got scaled back. Ayuk still at 8. This is what's going to happen. But do we bench Deebo? No, we got to take those to the chin. And we got to hope everyone else that we started can at least compensate and make up for. That's what points do, all right? We got to add together, all right? This ain't a solo thing. We start – one thing I don't think I've ever taught or spoke about when I was teaching guys or talking to guys about how to set your lineups. Set your lineup expecting somebody not to get points. Like, if you You put Debo in the game knowing he can say, Debo getting 25. I hope you put him in expecting, like, Debo might only get 4. And if he does get 4, who else is on your roster that you believe they're not going to get that low? Like, they are going to get above that. Because Debo cannot – there's games Debo going to piss you off. But then you got to look at your roster and be like, all right, but at least I won because everybody else did their part, right? Why? Because you at least started a defense that didn't get you less than 10 or less than 8 less than 7. Didn't put you in the negative. You know what I mean? At least you started a kicker that got you over 9. You see? Got you a tight end that got you over 5. Because why? If Debo only got you 4 and your tight end got you 12, those numbers flop. Why? Because technically a tight end would only get you 5. See how you played that game right there? You see how you flipped the system right there? You got it. You gotta play in protection mode sometimes, all right? But you can't bench Debo because you think he's going to get you. You got him on your roster because you believe that most of the time, not every week, most of the time, he's going to put you over. And he does. This is a week he didn't. Same as AJ. This is a week that there was a week that he didn't. All right? So, in week 5, we know who we're putting in. We know who our starting quarterback is every week. We know we should be through injuries. What I mean by that is we shouldn't have a gaggle of injuries from here forward. Bodies should be ready to go. We've had 4 weeks of brutal beatings, and this is who's basically standing tall. Now the season begins. Like, I hate today's game because I just think it's going to be ugly. Like, it's just not going to be good football, especially if it's a manslaughter on Washington's side, because I don't think the Bears – the only way the Bears make this a formidable game is if Justin Fields, we saw last week, shows up again. If Washington makes him look like anything that the Bills made him look like, well, that's the Justin Fields that's really here. I don't know what else – was it the Bills? Whoever they played week 3. Sorry about that. Where would they play week 3? But if that's no, Kansas City. If Washington does anything near what Kansas City did to Chicago, I might go to bed early. Because, I mean, why would I wait? Why would I stay up to watch Justin Fields do what I watch him do every week? I would stay up to watch him see if he could approach 390, 400 yards past until he just went balls crazy. That I would stay up to watch, even if he loses to Washington, right? Because they went back and forth in battle. I'd stay up and watch that. But if I'm looking at 202 yards, 19 for 38, Justin Fields with 2 turnovers and a touchdown, Justin Fields, like, I'm going to bed. There's nothing more of that I need to stay up and watch. I've watched about 4 seasons of that. So, oh, give me some rest. Oh, it's tired. All right, everybody. Look, I had a great show today. I hope you guys enjoyed watching today. If you have any questions for Coach, please reach out to Coach. I've given y'all my handle. Here it is again. Follow me on OTF Podcast, MIA on Instagram and Twitter. OTF Podcast, MIA. Follow me there. Ask me. Send me messages and ask me questions. I don't post a lot. Coach is just extremely busy between fatherhood, husbandhood, what's the other one? Caregiverhood, student, full-time, which hopefully I'm waiting for an email. Coach might be going to a program, hopefully. Fingers crossed. I work almost full-time. I work a lot at Maxwell. So I do a lot, so I can't post as much. That's why I'm glad I come on here and do the episodes and just get it all out for you guys, just regurgitate everything for you guys, talk as fast as I need to, slow down where I need to, call out who I need to. I do it all here. But my Instagram and Twitter are open for line of community, direct communication, so you guys can hit up Coach and ask him anything. I'm on WhatsApp as well. Jose, we work together, but you know what Jose do every week? Jose be on that WhatsApp, ask Coach, hey, Coach, should I trade for this person? Should I drop this person? Should I pick up this person? Coach
And Jose is on coach every single week.
And Jose has trusted coach every single week. And so take Jose taking beatings, two. And so they taking victories, two.
My man's 2-2. You know what 2-2 means in fantasy football? We playoff bound. If it ended today,
we're in the playoffs. Why? Because everybody else 1-3, 0-4.
You sitting 2-2 right now. If the playoffs started today, you're in the playoffs. Pimps.
It's your last place in the playoffs.
You in the playoffs, though. You feel me? He's 2-2 because he listens to coach every week. He takes coach's advice.
Is there anybody else trying to mess with Jose? No, they're scared.
See, that's the thing. This is how you know when you're doing right in fantasy football. With his roster, he's 2-2.
Boss getting hungry. She ready for her Chick-fil-A.
With being 2-2, when you send out trade, nobody wants it.
You know why? It's scared of your roster.
Because you're 2-2 with the roster that you already have, right or wrong,
co-host.
You're 2-2 with the roster you already have. So now when you already had to make a trade, nobody want to make your roster better. They want you to.
Nah, Jose, reach out to people. You make them trades.
Because you're not trying to screw somebody over. This man has been trying to offer people Deebo Samuels, and don't nobody want to take him. Are you stupid? Because y'all don't want to give Jose a running back? That's stupid. And if Jose messes around and beats y'all with the two only running backs he has on his roster, that's what y'all get. That's exactly what y'all get. Don't worry, Jose, if they don't want to trade, don't worry, because I'm telling you, it's a long season. Somebody else getting hurt. There's going to be roster spot waiting for that running back that has to take over. Keep playing. He is trying to, the man trying to make his roster better, and he ain't even trying to screw nobody over. Only person do say he don't want to give up is CeeDee Lamb and Jalen Waddle. But he has people he has been trying to negotiate with. He has real good players. He's been trying to negotiate trades with. Ain't nobody budge. Are you serious? Y'all that scared of Jose? Y'all talk about him. Y'all clown him in his roster. But when he comes at y'all with some real trade offers, what, y'all declining him? Come on, dog. Y'all gonna do Jose like that? That's why he ain't got no tolerance. Don't play with my boy. Don't worry about it, Jose. We got you keep looking at that waiver. You keep pushing them trades out. Don't worry. Somebody going to accept. Somebody going to understand what you're trying to do. And they going to understand the help you done gave him. Look, he ain't even trying to screw y'all. Ain't like he trying to get y'all Jerry Jeudy. He's not even stupid like that. He's not even trying to go over on somebody. Okay? Not like my man Gus, who secured A.J. Brown for Hopkins. Dusty! That's the sous chef over here, Maxwell. Y'all come on, let that man make you a pizza. That boy had your pizza in the oven and on the table before you even pay for your order. That's how we do it over there at Maxwell Pimps. Come on down, Cutler Bay, get you a nice slice of pizza. Get some of this delicious beer. Service, please. I love that one. That's the coach's favorite. I'll get you some crybaby ice cream. Come on down there to coach. You come to Maxwell's, you get a personal touch of fantasy talk with coach. People talk fantasy football with me all day. All you hear Enzo say is sports, because he's not a football guy. Coach came in and took over the joint. They're not mad about it. I'm telling y'all to come. I'm inviting y'all. Come get some pizza, have a beer, talk fantasy with Coach. And if not, you got OTF Podcast, MIA, on Instagram. You can direct message Coach. Follow me, direct message me. You can do the same thing on Twitter. Get all the advice you need from me, all right? Some guys don't have to wait and do it. Why? I work with them. So they wait for Coach to come in. Soon as Coach is clocked in, hey, Coach, I need help. We got Lil Danny. He don't even – Lil Danny 4-0. Lil Danny 4-0. He don't work for Macklin. He used to work for Macklin. He come by his old lady worked there. But he come, and he come, Coach, I need some help. Should I pick up this player? Should I drop this player? He listens. The coach. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. He had a great draft. But he listens to coach on who he should pick up and drop, or who he should trade for or not. But he's 4-0. Now, his roster is scary. It's very, very scary. Like, the only thing that can stop him is direct injuries. Like, real talk. Like, that is the only thing that's going to stop his roster. Okay?
But if you have to play Danny in fantasy in the Maxwell League, I feel sorry for you. You think Gus's roster is 2-3? He has a scary rock. I think he's sitting 2-2 as well, or he's 3-1. But Danny's roster is sick. Y'all in trouble if you got to play that. But look, they ask coach advice. Same thing with Gus. Gus is with me every week. We work together on Wednesday. We work Sunday. We all for Friday. Gus is asking coach, Matt, who I need to pick up? Who I need to drop? Who I need to trade for? He asked me if that was a good trade for getting A.J. Brown and giving away D-Hop. Absolutely. Absolutely. Why would you want a lingering hamstring on your team? You got youth handling one corner or, you know, running these open scene tight end routes. No matter where he's running, he's getting open, ain't he? Is he dropping the balls like DK Metcalf? No. We are teased because I'm a wide receiver. I have been coached at that position. I play that position. I'm coached that position. I know what a number one and a number two wide receiver and the number three wide receiver needs to look like. He is the ability of a number one, but he doesn't handle the number one. Let's just be real. That's not a bad thing. Juju didn't handle the number one, but he handled the number two very well. Sometimes taking on two defenders at one time, it doesn't matter what your abilities are. It's hard. Hard. Why do you think people who do it have a name like Julio Jones, the man? That's the man. Anytime Julio is catching a ball, where is it? In his hand? That's a man right there. Because he can handle a double team better than any person. Andre Johnson, Megatron. These are people who mutilated the double coverage. Antonio Brown. These are people who Juju had 1,400 yards taken on one. A.J. Brown had 1,400 yards taken on one. Antonio Brown had 1,200 yards taken on two. Smitty had 1,100 yards taken on two. You see what I'm saying? That, to me, is the epitome of a number one. It is how you get open and create separation on not one, two. Tyreek Hill is a number one. You see what I'm saying? You can take Chase is a number one. So is Higgins. He's just in a number two slot. But when he can take a double team, it's how you handle a double team. Is Juju looking like a number one right now with the Patriots? Nope. Can't handle a double team, man. Is Calvin Ridley looking like a number one over there with the Jaguars? No. And he didn't when he was with the Falcons. He was a really good number two when Julio was there. And then when he took over as the number one, he had one great game. With the Jaguars. And they say, oh, buddy thought he was number one. Come on, defense. Let's show him what he is. Is he number one? No. Because he hasn't done nothing since week one. He can't handle a double team. I'm sorry. You can tell what guys can, okay? And it's not that I don't think AJ can handle a double team. I think his body and build and the way he runs, it won't allow him to let him. He was doing it in Tennessee. And where was he at? He was hurt a lot. He was taking on a double team, so he was hurt a lot. He's not hurt a lot with the Eagles because he's not taking on a double team. He's getting open on one guy. But I used to call DK Metcalf a bully. That name no longer belongs to him because he's not bullying anybody. I get it. He's playing better, but, like, I don't know. I expected a lot more out of DK. A lot better than AJ Brown is playing so much better than DK. And I'm talking about all together. DK got a drop problem. Yeah, I didn't want to admit it for a while. Didn't want to. But Buddy got a drop problem. AJ Brown don't. It is what it is. But that's why AJ Brown can secure 1,400 on one man. And that's why DK Metcalf can only get 1,000 on one man. He can't hold the ball long enough to get more yards. Receivers, catch and hold and secured. Have you seen AJ Brown fumble? Have you seen AJ Brown drop? Yeah, get contested is contested. Everybody can get contested. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. Hell, he was a toe drag swag away from a touchdown in that one game where he was up. We was absolutely upset. No. I still think he did good in that game. That it was the third game he did better in. But that game, he actually would have more points if that toe drag swag would have counted. But he actually would have had more points in that one game if they would have caught a pass interference. Or if that pass interference didn't happen and he would have caught right there in the end zone. Because I don't see A.J. Brown dropping balls. Like, he doesn't drop balls. I tease the whole number one thing because I don't think he's number one. I don't think he can handle a double team like great number ones can. I just don't. Show me where he does it. I just don't see it. But that does not mean he's not a great football player. No, he can still handle what he's been given. Again, he gets open. However he gets open, he gets open. He's doing what his team want, ain't he? He's doing what people want fantasy football, ain't he? I just tease because I like to tease. I like the best people. That's all. I'm a grown man. I do what I want. I don't think you're number one. You ain't number one. You ain't handling the other team. Don't feel butthurt about it. You still make it. You still got 1,400 yards being guarded by one player. Some people can't even do that. How about that? Chris Godwin been in the league a long time. I think the only his greatest year was Tom Brady. He could barely get that because he was hurt. I just, you know, he puts in the great work, and you got to admire him for that. You got to give him what he is for that. Did I drop him in fantasy from being a first-round pick? Nope. And did I move Smitty up above him? No. Because in this case that Smitty is taking the double team, he can get fed all he wants. You still got to catch. You're not catching the ball on the double team every time. That's the thing. My only thing was if it's a Smitty year, they would move the double team over to A.J. Brown where Smitty would be open more. They said, nah, we're not letting that happen. So this looks like it's going right back to A.J. Because he's not getting double teamed. See how that works? All right, so again, you got any questions for Coach? Any questions? Coach, this is one of the best paraphernalia I have. Junior ZB's 10-2 record. What's the motto? No yards! We lost Super Bowl, but we were division champs. I love this team. I love this sweater. This one's from my heart. But if you have any questions for Coach about fantasy football at any time, hit me up on Twitter. Hit me up on Instagram. Again, it is OTF Podcast MIA. Everybody hear my name? All right, so hit me up. Ask me anything that has to do with fantasy. Coach will give you the right answer. Why do I say the right answer? Because there is a right or wrong answer in fantasy football. Meaning, if you say, should I pick this guy up and drop this guy? No! Or, hey, should I drop Kadarius Toney for this guy? Kadarius Toney is still on your roster. See, that's a truthful answer you're going to get from me. It's true. See what I mean? That's the right answer. That's the right answer. Why is he still on your roster? But that's your answer. Should I drop Kadarius Toney? It ain't going to be why. It's going to be what the is he still doing on your roster? That's what it's going to be. I ain't got the sugar to see the TV. Coach got A to G. Instagram, Twitter. That's the nightly Coach's Tide special. Don't come at Coach with no goofy crap. I'm telling you. You're going to get a goofy answer. All right? Coaches like to be up front, and I like to be straightforward. I don't play that fooly-wooly. All right? But hey, I loved the episode. I loved everything about this episode today. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's game. And stay tuned for tomorrow's episode. Well, we will recap tonight's game, and we will get into the rest of week 5 starts and sits. And are we ready for some football, people? I know I am. Have a good night, or have a good day. Have a good night watching the game, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Coach is out.
Thank you for staying to the end. If you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video, subscribe, and also hit that notification button so you can be notified next time we put out a video. If you're listening on any podcast platform, subscribe and hit that notification button, y'all, so you can be notified we put out another podcast audio. And last but not least, hit that share button. No matter what you're listening to or watching it, hit that share button and send it to somebody that you know that would love to watch this episode you just listened to. So once again, thank you for staying to the end, and we'll see y'all in the next episode.